All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 20. And like we said last week, we finished a series called Peculiar People. And our series that we've been in, Peculiar People, has been a pretty heavy series as far as teaching you what the Bible teaches in regards to separation and that God desires to have a people that are separate, that are different. And I'm really excited about the upcoming series next week. It's going to be, like I said, more of a relational series as we learned about communication and what the Bible teaches about using our words properly as we communicate amongst ourselves and our loved ones and friends. Today, I am preaching a standalone sermon, and this is something I do every year, the week before our vision offering, and I'm going to be speaking to you about this vision offering, and I realize that pastors get a bad rap whenever they preach on money or preaching on money. The truth of the matter is, and if you're a first-time guest here, you don't know this, you'll just have to take my word for it, but those of you who have been coming to this church for two, three weeks, or two, three months, or two, three years, you know that this is true. We talk very little about money around here. In fact, you can go weeks and weeks and months and months and months without ever hearing any preaching on money. But a couple times a year, we do strategically preach on offerings and givings because the Bible teaches these things. And because it's in the Word of God, we're not ashamed of it. But the truth of the matter is this, that usually when I preach these vision offering sermons, for those of you that have been with us, you'll find that I end up giving you more reasons why you shouldn't give than why you should. And I'll do that as well this week. And I might, some of you, it may not be right for you to give at the vision offering. And I'll give you reasons why you may not want to participate in the vision offering and give in the vision offering. You say, Pastor, aren't you wanting to get us to give to the vision offering? Why would you tell us why not to give? Well, it's called reverse psychology. No, I'm just kidding. It's, you know, it's honestly, we want you to give, but we want it to be the right type of gift. And we want it to be done in a proper way. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But I want you to notice there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 33, the Apostle Paul is leaving the church at Ephesus, and he makes these statements. He says, he's giving kind of these goodbye statements to the elders of Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 33, he says, I've coveted no man's silver. The word covet means to greatly desire or envy. He says, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what's interesting. The Apostle Paul is about to give us a quote of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you have a red letter edition Bible where the words of Christ are in red, you'll have a phrase in this verse that's in red. The interesting thing about that is that this verse or this quote by Jesus is actually not found in the Gospels. You don't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. This is something that Jesus said that was not written down in the gospel account, but through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Apostle Paul is telling us that this is a teaching that came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says there in verse 35. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, and you've heard this before, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said, and Paul is quoting the fact that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the teaching that it is more blessed to give than to receive is counterintuitive. What I mean by that is that it's contrary to common sense or intuition. And if we were honest in a fleshly, carnal way, we would say, I don't know about that. I mean, more blessed to give than to receive. You know, I like to receive. I like it when people give me gifts. I like it when people give me things. I feel real blessed when someone blesses me with something. But Jesus said something that's counterintuitive, maybe a paradox in Scripture, when he says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And like we often find with the teachings of Jesus, is that he's right. Is that he's right even when it seems like he's wrong. And in this sermon, what I'd like to do is I'd like to, as quickly as we can, give you seven reasons why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, here's the title of the sermon, all right? The title of the sermon is this, Selfish Reasons for Being Extraordinarily Generous. Selfish reasons for being extraordinarily generous. But if you don't like that, you can write this down in your notes. Why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to give you seven reasons why we are blessed, actually more, when we give than when we receive. Now, if you're able to take notes, I want to encourage you to take notes. If you've got a baby sitting on your lap, I understand why you might not write some notes down. But in the back of your course of the week, there is a place for you to write down some notes, and maybe you can write these statements down. Seven reasons why, seven selfish reasons for being extraordinarily generous. Number one, here's one reason why it's more blessed to give than to receive, because giving is a needed step of spiritual growth and maturity. Giving is a needed step of spiritual growth and maturity. Now, you're there in the book of Acts. I'd like you to go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. If you're in the book of Acts, you're going to go past the book of Romans. The next book right after Acts is Romans. Then you've got the book of 1 Corinthians. Then you've got the book of 2 Corinthians. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that's where I'd like you to go, chapters 8 and chapters 9 deal with the concept of giving. In fact, the Apostle Paul is teaching on the subject of giving as he is taking a special offering, like we are taking a special offering next week. He is taking a special offering from the different churches he's connected with. And I want you to notice what he says to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you're there in Acts, you got Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." The word wit there means to have knowledge or be knowledgeable about. He says, "We do you to wit of," and I want you to notice this phrase, "the grace of God." He says, "We do you to wit of the grace of God." Now, the word grace means to be given something. The word grace means free, that you are given something. Usually when we think of the word grace in regards to spiritual matters, we think of salvation, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, why is that terminology used? Because salvation is a gift, and it is freely given. We don't earn it. Here, the context is not salvation, but he uses that phrase for a reason. Notice what he says. "We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." We're going to come back to these verses in a minute. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, though that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." We're going to come back and develop those verses in a second, but I want you to notice verse 6. Notice what he says. "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you." Titus is the man that's going around collecting the offerings for this special offering that they're giving. He said, "We desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you." Notice, "that the same grace also." I want you to notice that phrase, because he says, look, "We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches." Here's what he's saying. The grace of God has been bestowed upon the churches. Not just grace for salvation, but grace in general. The grace of all life. Everything that we've been given by God. The Bible says that every good gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And then he says this, "Titus, that has begun, so he would also finish in you that same, the same grace also." He said, I want you to take the grace of God. What's the grace of God? The fact that God has given to us salvation and every blessing. He said, that grace should be accomplished in you, the same grace also. Notice verse 7. "Therefore," he says, "for that reason, because the grace of God has been bestowed upon you, and because that grace needs to be accomplished also among you," he says, "therefore," notice, "as ye abound in everything." He's saying, look, you're growing in grace. Praise the Lord for it. You're growing and you're maturing as a Christian. Praise the Lord for it. He says, "as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us." He said, you are abounding. You are growing in your faith. You are growing in your utterance. That's referring to the fact that they are preaching the gospel or speaking the truth of God's word. And knowledge. You're growing in your knowledge. You're learning a lot. You're learning from the word of God. And by the way, that's why God gave us a church, that we might learn of his word, that we might learn of God. He says, you're growing in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. But then he says this, "See that ye abound in this grace also." Here's what he's telling the church at Corinth. He's saying, it's not enough if you're growing in every area of your spiritual life and you're not growing in this grace also. What is he referring to? The grace of giving. Here's what he's saying. You cannot be a growing Christian. You cannot be a maturing Christian. You cannot be growing in the Lord while you are not giving. So if you're here this morning and you say, man, I've been growing, praise the Lord for it. I've been reading my Bible, good. I've been faithful to church, praise God. I've been praying. I've been developing in my walk with the Lord. But you have not yet began to give. I want to encourage you to take this opportunity to give. You say, well, is it for them? No, it's really for you. Because giving is a needed step of spiritual growth and maturity. And if you have abounded in faith, if you've abounded in utterance, if you've abounded in knowledge, if you've abounded in diligence, if you've abounded in love, then here's the message for you. See that ye abound in this grace also. Now maybe you say, well, Pastor Manis, I'm a brand new Christian. You know what? Honestly, I'm not here to say, put a guilt trip on you, or I'm not a salesman. I'm not a used car salesman. I'm not here trying to get you to manipulate you into giving. You say, I'm a brand new Christian. I don't know what I really think about this, and I'm not sure if I should be giving. Look, you are sitting in a guilt-free giving sermon. If you're a brand new Christian, you say, I'm not even sure what I think about all this. Hey, you know what? Then you're not there yet. And maybe you need to abound in some other areas. Maybe we need to just help you learn some things and grow some things. Maybe, you know, I'd rather you say, I've got only certain things I can work on, Pastor. You know, what do you want me to work on? Should I work on my giving? I'd rather you work on the daily discipline of reading your Bible every day before you give. Now, if you can do both, do both. But if you've got to choose one or the other, hey, I'd rather you work on your daily discipline of spending time in prayer with God. I'd rather you work on your daily discipline of utterance and preaching the gospel. I'd rather you work on your daily discipline of becoming a better husband or becoming a better wife or learning what the Bible teaches about being a father or being a mother. There's other graces that I'd like you to abound in. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm growing, I'm learning, I'm maturing, I'm abounding in all these things, then for you the message is this: see that ye abound in this grace also. Make sure that you do not hinder your growth spiritually by being involved in everything, being given to everything, growing in everything, and not growing in the grace of giving. Why? Because giving is a needed step towards spiritual growth and maturity. Keep your place there in 2 Corinthians. We're going to come right back to it. But go back with me in the Gospels to the book of Luke. Now, if you start at the beginning of the New Testament, you'll have the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke. And I'd like you to find Luke chapter number 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Luke chapter 3 and verse 10. Now in Luke chapter 3, we have the story of John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist came on the scene and he started preaching the gospel. He started preaching the word of God. The Bible tells us, Paul told us, that he was preaching the baptism of repentance, saying that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. He was preaching that there was one coming, that they should believe on him, and that they should trust on him. But here's what's interesting. When people received that message of John, and they were baptized, these are people that are already saved, there is something else that John told them. Luke chapter 3, are you there? Notice verse 10. And the people asked him, these are the people that just got baptized, they've already got saved, they've already believed the message, they got baptized, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? They said, what shall we do then? And he answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. It's interesting that you've got these religious people who just got saved. These are people, they've already read the Bible. They already know what the Bible says. They're already, as far as discipline is concerned, they're already disciplined. They just got saved, though, but they already understand, you know, the law of the prophets. They already understand the law of Moses. They've already understood those things. They just got saved. And they say, well, what should we do? And here's what John tells them. John tells them, be generous. He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath one. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Look at verse 12. Then came also the publicans to be baptized of him. These are people that are not, they've not grown spiritually. These are the sinners. But they just got saved and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. It's funny, he told the people that already understood Scripture, he said, you understood Scripture, great. You understand the Word of God, good. Here's what you should do. Be generous. You know what he's telling them? He's telling them, you've already abounded in some things. Good on you. Praise the Lord. Abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. The publicans, they said, well, what should we do? And he said, well, you know what? Before you worry about being generous, why don't you just worry about being just? He says, exact no more than that which is appointed you. He's telling him, you've been stealing at work. You've been lying about, you're allowed to take a certain amount, and you've been lying about what you've been taking more than what you've been allowed to. He said, don't worry so much about being generous, just worry about being just. And look, here's all I'm telling you. If you're a brand new Christian and you've still got some major sins in your life, you're stealing from your boss, hey, don't worry about giving, worry about being just. Let's get you growing to the place. Let's get you fixed up to the place. Let's get you maturing to the place where you can get to the place maturely, spiritually, where you can give. But he says, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Notice verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to no man. You say, why would he tell the soldiers that? Because they were violating men. Neither accuse any falsely. Why was he telling them, don't accuse people falsely? Because they were accusing people falsely. And be content with your wages. Why was he telling them to be content? Because they were discontent. Here's what John was telling. He was preaching the gospel. He was getting people saved. He was getting people baptized. And then he was telling them, here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be generous, and he wants you to be just. He wants you to be generous, and he wants you to do right. He wants you to be generous, and he wants you to live right. Say, well, Pastor, what is a selfish reason to give? Or why is it that it's more blessed to give than to receive? Here's why. Because giving is a needed step for spiritual growth and maturity. And when you give, when you abound in the grace of giving, you are actually abounding in your own spiritual maturity, and you're learning and growing in Christ. Go back to 2 Corinthians, if you kept your place there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Let me give you the second reason. We're talking about selfish reasons to be extraordinarily generous, or why it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. Number one, giving is a needed step for spiritual growth and maturity. But let me give you a second one. Number two, giving is proof of our love for God and others. Giving is proof of our love for God and others. Notice what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 5. Remember, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about giving. He says, "In this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Listen, you cannot give to the Lord properly until you have first given yourself to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Look, if you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm not sure. I'm on the fence of this thing. I'm not really sure what I think about Christianity. I'm not really sure what I think about New Testament Christianity. I'm not sure what I think about this church, or I'm not sure what I think about you, Pastor. You know, I'm not sure. Hey, if that's you this morning, it's a guilt-free sermon for you. I would never ask someone to give to a church that they're not even sure if they're for that church. But if you're here and you say, you know what, I've given myself to God, and I've given myself to the brethren in this church. Notice what he says, verse 5. First gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. He's saying these are people that are committed to God and they're committed to us. They're committed to God and they're committed to our church. If you say, well, I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm committed to Verity Baptist Church. Pastor, you're my pastor. Miss Joanne, that's my pastor's wife. And I'm committed to the work that's being done here. Notice what he says. In so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in, notice these words, your love to us. See that ye abound in this grace also. Verse 8, I speak, look, don't miss this. I speak not by commandment. Paul and myself are standing up here and saying, we are not commanding you. We are not ordering you. We are not telling you, if you don't give, you're not right with God. If you don't give, God's going to get you. If you don't give, no. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forbearance of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. See, what Paul was saying is what I'm saying to you. If you say, hey, I am committed to God, I am committed to the work of God, I am committed to this church, and I am committed to others, then I would say to you, then prove it. Because our words are cheap. And what he's saying is this. He's saying, look, put your money where your mouth is. He says, and to, notice the last part of verse 8, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Look at verse 24, same chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. Wherefore show ye to them And before the churches, notice, the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. See, giving is proof of your love for God and others. And here's the thing. You can give without loving. And that's what we're trying to avoid. Oftentimes, you go to churches and there's a giving sermon and it's guilt and manipulation or just false teaching. You sow a seed of $1,000 and God is going to give you $10,000. I got a vision. Wipe yourself with this handkerchief that I had last allergy season and God's going to bless you. And they use these tactics of manipulation and guilt to try to get you. You know, they guilt those that are a little smart, they guilt, and those that are a little naive, they might try to manipulate them and lie to them. And here's the thing. The Apostle Paul says, no, not by commandment. See, Verity Baptist Church has historically, and up to this day, been an extremely generous church. Sometimes we give so much stuff away around here. I mean, as far as resources, DVDs, documentaries, we're giving things away. We are investing in other ministries, things we don't even talk to you about as a congregation or bring up, but we invest into other ministries and help other ministries and support other ministries and do what we can to help. And sometimes I think to myself, man, we're gonna give ourselves away into bankruptcy one of these days. And you know, I'm amazed by the fact that the more we give and the more generous we are and the more freely we give, the more God blesses and God takes care. Because here's what I've learned. When you love God, you don't have to be manipulated into giving. When you find people, you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, you know, why is it that you don't preach on giving every week? Why I go to these churches, and I mean, every sermon, it's a giving sermon. And if you've been there, you know what it is. Every sermon, you got a giving sermon. And before the offering, you've got a mini giving sermon. You say, you guys never do that at Verity Baptist Church. Why not? Here's why we don't do that at Verity Baptist Church. Because what I've learned is that if I can just teach you the Bible, and help you to get right with God and stay right with God. If I can get you to develop a love for God, we don't have to worry about giving. Giving will take care of itself. See, you don't have to speak by commandment to those who, by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of their love, give. And here's the truth. You can give without loving. And we want to avoid that. But you cannot love without giving. Go with me to 1 Chronicles 39. Keep your place there in 2 Corinthians. We're going to come right back to it. So I want you to make sure you're able to get there quickly. But go to 1 Chronicles 29. Now, if you go to the Old Testament, you're going to find these books. They're the 1-2 books. They're all clustered together. You got 1, 2 Samuel, 1, 2 Kings, 1, 2 Chronicles. If you can find the 1-2 books in the Old Testament, it'll be easy to find 1, 2 Samuel, 1, 2 Kings, 1, 2 Chronicles. I want you to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So find the 1-2 books, 1, 2 Samuel, 1, 2 Kings, 1, 2 Chronicles, and go to 1 Chronicles 29. While you turn there, let me read to you out of Matthew 6, 21. You know this verse? I'll just read it for you. This is what Jesus said. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, the truth of the matter is that our treasure is connected to our heart or to our affection. If I want to know what you love, all I have to do is look at your checkbook. All I have to do is look at your online statement. How about this? If you want to know what you love, you say, how do I know what I love? Well, what do you spend money on? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is what Jesus said. So what you spend money on is what you love. What you spend money on is where your heart is. Are you there in 1 Chronicles 29? Look at verse 3. I want you to notice what David said. Not often, but from time to time, I get attacked by people. Whenever we do a vision offering, people say, why are you taking a special offering? And I think to myself, have you ever read the Bible? Because the Bible is filled with special offering after special offering after special offering after special offering. I mean, you start with a special offering with Moses in tabernacle, and it seems like you're just reading about special offering for this, special offering for that, special offering for this, all the way through the New Testament. And in 1 Chronicles 29, we have one of those special offerings. David is taking a special offering for the temple that he's preparing to build, that his son Solomon is going to build. I want you to notice what David says, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my, notice the words, affection on the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Here's what David is saying. I have set my affection on the house of God, therefore I have given to the house of God. You say, why does he say that? He says that because of this, because of the fact that you cannot love without giving. This is why the Bible says, most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Because you can give without loving if you've been manipulated, if you've been guilted into it, if you've been bewildered into it. But you cannot truly love without giving, because giving is a proof. Giving is a proof of where your heart is and where your affection is, and giving is a proof of our love in God for others. Let me give you a third reason. You're there in 1 Chronicles 29. Keep your place there. We're going to go right back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But here's statement number three. Giving is an active move towards stretching yourself in faith. Giving is an active move towards stretching yourself in faith. We're talking about selfish reasons why you may want to give, or why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. You say, well, why would I be more blessed after I give than I receive? Here's why. Because giving is an active way. Giving is probably one of the best ways for you to stretch yourself spiritually and trust in the Lord, or to stretch yourself in faith. See, some of you have been coming for a while, and you've been members for a while, you've been in this thing for a while, and you're like, I've kind of lost my excitement. It's not that exciting anymore. I remember when soul winning was difficult, and I was learning the verses, and I didn't have them all memorized, and I was a little nervous to talk, but now I'm not nervous, I've kind of lost that. Jesus would call that in Revelation, I've lost my first love. I remember when it used to be kind of difficult to read the Bible, and I'd read the Bible, and I'm like, man, what's that about? And I try to study it out, and I try to look at cross-references, or I go to church, and the pastor would preach. And I remember, I'm just not there anymore. You know, I remember when going to church was kind of like, man, I've got to set my mindset. I got to prepare my clothes the night before, and I got to put a couple of alarm clocks, and I got to make sure that everything goes well, because the devil's trying to get at me. The devil's trying to keep me from church, but I'm gonna be there. Bless God, and I'm gonna be there Sunday morning. And I'm gonna be there Sunday night. And I'm gonna be there Wednesday night. But now you know you fought those battles. The in-laws, they're not inviting you out on Sunday morning anymore to go fishing. They know what you do. They know you're a Bible thumper. They know you're one of those weird people that goes to church. You know, you're not fighting those battles anymore. You say, I don't feel stretched anymore. Hey, you know what? Giving is an active move towards stretching yourself. If you've grown spiritually, if you've matured spiritually, giving is an active move towards stretching yourself in your faith. Are you there? Notice what David says. You're there in 1 Chronicles 29. Look at verse 3 again. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Notice these words. Over and above. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He said, I've already prepared. David said, I've already been saving up. I've already been ready to give. But now the affection that I have for the house of God has taken over a little bit, and I'm going to give what I have, but I'm going to also give over and above. What's David saying? David is saying, I'm going to give what I'm comfortable with giving. I'm going to give what I've already prepared to give. I'm going to give what I've set aside to give, but I'm going to also just give a little more. He says, over and above. He said, I'm just going to stretch myself a little bit. I'm just going to sacrifice a little bit. He said, I'm going to inconvenience myself a little bit. It may mean that I can't stop at Starbucks twice a day for the next 3 weeks like I normally do. It may be that I can't, that I have to not do something that I normally do, or pull back on something that I normally spend. But he says, I want to give. David said, I want to give, but I've given before. He said, I want to give, but I want to give over and above. I want to stretch myself. And we find in Scripture, this is a very scriptural concept. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you kept your place there, you should have your place in 1 Chronicles 29. Keep your place there. We're going to come back to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, excuse me, look at verse 2. And let me say this. We should give. If you're going to give, you should give sacrificially. Here's what I'm saying. You should stretch yourself a little bit. Here's what I'm saying. it should make you a little uncomfortable. Here's what I'm saying. It should hurt a little bit. Now, look, I'm not asking, and look, honestly, I'm not asking you, by faith, I'm going to give my rent money away. Okay? That's foolishness. Okay? Don't do that. We're not trying to ruin you, all right? We'll be fine, okay? We'll be good. I'm glad you love us. We love you too. But the Bible doesn't say that. Well, I'm going to give by faith. Everything in the Bible that we are to do by faith, we are to do by faith in connection to the Word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight, but we do walk by faith in the Word of God. The Bible never tells you, oh, give it all away. I've been to churches where it's give it all Sunday. Just give it all away. Just trust God. Oh, full paycheck Sunday. Look, we're not asking for your full paycheck anything. All right? You say, well, Pastor, don't you want my full paycheck? Yeah, but you're going to call me when the smut bill needs to be paid. You're going to call me when you don't have groceries, and that's fine. Look, we help people, and we love people, and we're generous, and we want to do that. But here's what I'm telling you. You ought to give if you can. You ought to give if you're there spiritually, if you've matured to that place. If you're kind of stagnant in your Christianity, you ought to give sacrificially to where it hurts a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 2. Notice what Paul said. He said, how that, remember, he's talking about these people giving. He says, how that in great trial of affliction. He's talking about the church in Macedonia, and the church of Macedonia was going through a great trial of affliction. Paul is asking, I want you to understand the context. He's asking for a special offering, and he's asking the churches for a special offering, and he's saying the church in Macedonia was going through a great trial of affliction. The church in Macedonia, if they would not have been part of their vision offering, nobody would have blamed them. Nobody would have thought anything of it. In fact, everybody would have said, well, yeah, of course the church in Macedonia is not going to give. They're going through a great trial of affliction. But he says, no, these people, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. I want you to notice that word joy. And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at verse 3. For to their power. What does that mean? To their ability. To what they could do. Notice. For to their power, I bear record. Yea. Notice. And beyond their power. He said they gave to their power. He said they gave to their ability. And beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves. He said the church of Macedonia, they gave. He said they gave to their power and above their power. And notice, he doesn't tell us how much they gave, because it doesn't matter how much they gave. What matters is that they stretched themselves. And they sacrificed. Say, Pastor, what kind of offering do you want to take for the vision offering? This is the kind of offering we want to take. We want to take an offering where it's given willfully and sacrificially. Where you would say, well, I will stretch myself and I will give what I can and stretch myself in faith a little bit and go above that a little bit and get a little uncomfortable and maybe do without a little bit. Maybe we're not going to eat out like we normally do and just kind of do something extra for the Lord. Now, please understand this. You're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Skip down to verse number 13. And here's what I want you to understand. When it comes to sacrifice, we are looking for equal sacrifice, not equal giving. I'm not going to stand up here and say, if everybody could just give $10,000. Now, some of you could give $10,000. Some of you could never give $10,000, and that's fine. Well, we're not going to stand up here and say, well, we all got to just try to do a little more and push ourselves a little harder and sacrifice a little. No. We're not looking for equal giving, but we are looking for equal sacrifice. And here's what we mean by that, is that everybody stretches themselves the same amount. Notice what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 8, 13. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. He's telling the church of Macedonia, he's like, I don't want other people to take it easy and you're taking the brunt of the whole thing. He said, I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, verse 14, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there be, notice these words, that there may be equality. What's he saying? This is what he's saying. He's saying, I want everyone to equally sacrifice, not equally give. Because everybody's in different places financially. Everybody's in different places spiritually. Everybody's in different places, you know, just in life stages, and we understand that. He says, I don't want everybody to give. You say, well, Pastor Jimenez, well, do you have a certain goal for the vision offering? It'll be a success if we hit. You know what? Honestly, we don't have a goal. We've got to hit this much or it's not a success. You say, what would you say that would make the vision offering a success? The vision offering would be a success if everyone that could give did give willingly, joyfully, and sacrificially. And if we all sacrificed, and we all stretched ourselves, and we all kind of put ourselves in a place that makes it a little inconvenient. Now, every year, for those of you who have been with us for years, you know this is true, but every year before the vision offering, and this was something that was advised to me by the pastor that trained us for ministry, every year when we lead our church into a vision offering, I always announce to our church what my wife and I have committed to give. Now, I do that at my own eternal peril. And what I mean by that is this. I realize that the Bible teaches that when you announce what you give, you have your reward. I get that. I'm not worried about that. I do that because, and I'm not advising, and in fact, I don't want people to go around saying, well, here's how much I'm going to give, and here's how much I'm going to give, and here. That's not the point. You say, well, Pastor, why do you announce how much you and your wife are going to give? The reason that we announce every year what we're going to commit to the vision offering is because I want you to understand that we're going to stretch ourselves like we're hoping you will do. That we're going to sacrifice like we're hoping you will do. That I'm not just up here trying to give you some sales pitch and saying, you know, hope you give, but that we're in this like you're in this. And that we're committed to the Lord and we're committed to the work of this church like hopefully you are committed to the Lord and you are committed to the work of this church. And we're going to stretch ourselves and sacrifice ourselves. Now, here's the problem with giving a number. And I'm going to give you a number, but I want you to get this. The problem with giving a number is that a number is relative to where you are in life. For some of you, when you hear what we're going to give, you're going to say, wow, I can't believe that you're going to give that much. Because you're young and you're broke. And that's okay. We were young and broke at one point, too. Some of you are going to hear what we give, and you're going to be like, really? That's it? And that's because you've been highly blessed. And praise the Lord for you. I will tell you this. What my wife and I are going to give, and it hasn't changed. It's the same amount we've given over the last several years. It hasn't changed because our situation hasn't changed financially. Every year we have another child. You know, every year we have another, we have more burdens and things. I can tell you this. We are giving not at ease. We are sacrificing. It's stretching us. And this year we're committing, like we've done in the past, to give $1,000 to the vision offering. Now, again, for some of you, you might think, I can't believe. That's okay. We're not asking you to give $1,000. For some of you, you would if you misplaced $1,000, you wouldn't even notice it. For some of you, you could give $1,000 and it would be nothing. And here's all I'm saying. I'm telling you, where we are financially, where we are in our life, six children, a dog, and all those things, you know, could we use that $1,000 somewhere else? Absolutely. Are there things that we could put that money towards that would be a help to our church? Absolutely. Is that hindering us or stopping us a little bit? Is that hurting us a little bit? Absolutely. You say, well, then why are you doing it? I'm doing it because I want you to know this, that I am not, as the leader of this church, asking you to do something that we are not willing to do. And I'm not asking you to give $1,000. I'm asking you to stretch yourself. I'm asking you to give to your ability and above. And here's the truth. Only you know what that is. And for some of you, the problem with saying $1,000 is that some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, give $1,000, I'll give $1,000. When you could easily give a lot more than that. Well, Pastor gave $1,000, I'm going to give $1,000. For some of you, think, you know, well, Pastor gave $1,000, I got to give $1,000. And it's going to ruin you. And what I'm asking is that you would allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And I'm going to ask that you would take this week and think and pray and ask, Lord, how could I give to my power and above my power? How could I give to my ability and above my ability? Go back to Luke chapter 6. Keep your place there in 2 Corinthians 8. Keep your place in 1 Chronicles. We're going to go back to those. Let me give you the fourth reason. We're talking about why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Number one, giving is a needed step for spiritual growth and maturity. Number two, giving is proof of our love and for God and for others. Number three, giving is an active move towards stretching yourself in faith. Number four, giving opens the door to more blessings from God. Giving opens the door to more blessings from God. This is what the Bible teaches. I realize as fundamental Baptists, we don't like these passages sometimes because we feel like charismatics. But here's the thing. The Bible says this. The verse I'm going to show you is in the Word of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Here's what Jesus said. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together. And running over. I love the word picture that he's given us there. Shall men give into your bosom For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Here's what Jesus said. He said, if you give, it shall be given unto you. That's counterintuitive. I'd realize that. So is, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So is, humble yourself and you'll be exalted. So is, embrace your weakness and the strength of the Lord will sustain you. So is, love your enemies. You'll find that a lot of the teachings in the Word of God are counterintuitive. You'll find that a lot of the teachings of the Word of God are paradoxical. You'll find that a lot of the teachings of the Word of God are going to go against what logic tells you. You say, why does God do that? He does that because he wants us to walk in faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And here's what the Bible teaches, and here's what Jesus teaches. When you give, you open the door to more blessings from God. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. And he says this, for with the same measure ye meet. Here's what God says. God says, you have the ability to give a certain amount. And he says, I'm giving you this word illustration, or this word picture, where you've got a certain amount of cup. You've got a measuring cup of how much you're going to give. Now, you've got to decide which one you're going to pick. You're going to pick a small one, or a medium-sized one, or a big one, or an extra-large one, or whatever it might be, wherever you're at. And here's all that God says. God says, whatever you decide, I'm going to pick this one up, and I'm going to use this one to give. God says, then I'm going to take that same measuring cup. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now here's the difference. God says, when I do it, I'm going to measure. And the idea of someone kind of scooping in and putting flour into a measuring cup or sugar into a measuring cup, he says, when I do it, I'm going to press it down and I'm going to shake it together. I'm going to make sure there's no air bubbles there. He said, I'm going to have it running over. He said, but I'm going to use whatever measuring cup you use. And here's what he's teaching. Here's what he's saying. Giving opens the door to more blessings from God. Give, and it shall be given unto you again. Say, Pastor Maz, why are you giving that amount of money to Verity Baptist Church? Honestly, let me just be honest with you. And you know, the Bible talks about confessing your faults one to another. I've got some selfish reasons. Because I need God's blessing. Because I've got six kids and a stay-at-home mom, and I'm in the same position as some of you, where you are living in a world where the odds are stacked against you if you don't have a double-income family, and I just need God. If there's one area that I need God to bless me in, it's financially. Amen. So I'm just going to give, and trust God that when you give, it shall be given unto you again. And I'm not talking about money. You know what? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But if I can give God money and God gives me protection, if I can give God money and God gives me health, if I can give God money and God says, you know what? You'll be fine. You'll never be rich. You're a pastor. You'll never be rich, but you'll be fine. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure you'll be fine. I'll even feed the dog. I'm just telling you that there are some selfish reasons why you may want to give. There are some reasons why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you kept your place in 2 Corinthians, we were in chapter 8. Just one flip one chapter over, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this, but this I say. Look, this is what the Bible teaches. And there's tons of verses we could look at. We're not going to take the time to run them all. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Here's what God's saying. If you're cheap, people are going to be cheap with you. God says, if you're cheap, I'm going to be cheap with you. He says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you give, as long as you're sacrificing. Remember the widow's mite? She put two farthings in, or I forget the coin, the name of the coin. She put it in. It was nothing. And God says, she's given more. Jesus says, she's given more than everybody here. Why? Because she gave from what she could. Because she sacrificed and she gave. She had so little money, so it doesn't even matter. This isn't enough to even buy any food with. Might as well just give it all to God, see what happens. And she gave. And God says, look, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And the Bible teaches that giving opens the door to more blessings from God. You're there in 1 Corinthians 9, 6. Look at verse 7. Let me give you the fifth point. Here's the fifth point. We're talking about selfish reasons why you may want to be extraordinarily generous. What we're talking about, why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's point number five. Giving rather than hoarding literally makes you happier. Giving rather than hoarding, literally, and you can add this word, scientifically proven, makes you happier. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me read to you from some articles here real quickly. And you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Do me a favor. While I read this for you, go back to 1 Chronicles 29. And you should have had your place there already, but find 1 Chronicles. Remember the Old Testament? You got those one and two books for 2 Samuel, for 2 Kings, for 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Excuse me, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let me read to you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I read that. Good night. I'm all confused now. I want to read this article to you. Here's an article from the Huffington Post, all right? It's called, Want to Be Happier? Give More. Give Better. Here's what it says. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, just a little bit. Thanks to fMRI technology, researchers are able to see brain activity when certain acts are taken, and in a study of charitable giving, when people donated to a worthy cause, the midbrain region of the brain lit up. This is the area of the brain that is responsible for our cravings and pleasure and rewards. It's not in this quote, but this is also the area of your brain that lights up when you eat chocolate, all right? So this is what we're talking about. Showing the link between charitable giving and pleasure. This reward or pleasure response giving is physiological, is the physiological reason behind the warm glow or that good feeling you get when you give, and why you may choose to spend money on others or charity compared to yourself. But does giving actually make you happier? According to a survey and study by researchers Dunn, Aiken, Acknin, and Norton, it does. The researchers set up a real-world experiment, randomly assigned people, were put into four groups that were to spend $5 on themselves, $20 on themselves, $5 on others, and $20 on others. Those who spent $5 or $20 on others reported being much happier, while those that spent money on themselves showed no change in happiness. Let me read to you from this other article called People Who Donate to Charity Are Much Happier and Healthier. This is from the New York Post. It says, givers are happier. People who give money to charity tend to be happier and also healthier than others, said Elizabeth Dunn, a psychology professor at the University of British Columbia in Canada, where she studies happiness. Money doesn't seem to buy quite as much happiness as many people assume, she told the conference, adding that in experiments where people were given money and told to spend it on others themselves or to spend it on either themselves or others, givers were happiest afterwards. Similar results were reached in Canada and Uganda, two hugely different countries in terms of income and culture, suggesting this may be something intrinsic to humans, she said. People who donate money to charity are happier in poor and rich countries alike. She said, you don't have to have a lot to experience the emotional benefit of giving, as well as the link between happiness and altruism, which she now thinks is fairly robust and well-established. Dunn said her more recent research suggests giving money always can tangibly improve one's health. People who donate to charity have lower blood pressure, she said, even when controlling for factors like income, wealth, age, and exercise, which suggests the giving itself is responsible. Dunn measured people's blood pressure before and after giving and found it fell when people gave significantly to other people or causes, but did not change when they spent money on themselves. Giving is not just heartwarming. It may be quite literally good for our hearts, she said. And it's interesting because here's what the Bible says. God says, I want you to give cheerfully. And science catches up and says, actually, when you give, you're cheerful. Now, here's the thing. You only give cheerfully when you give, not out of guilt or manipulation. So again, I'm not up here telling you, you got to give. Okay? But what I'm saying is this, if you're willing to give, if you love this church, if you love the Lord, if you love what we're doing, if you've been blessed by the things that are happening in this church, then we're asking, would you help us continue to do these things? Would you help us to continue to invest in the work of God? Are you there in 2 Corinthians 9:7? Notice what it says. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And please, I want to stress this, and I want to say this to you. If you come to church next week and it's the vision offering and you say, Pastor Jimenez, I'm going to give, but I just feel like I'm being manipulated. I feel like I'm being pressured. I really don't want to. Here's what I'm telling you. Please don't give. We won't be mad at you. We won't hold it against you. We're not going to, everyone gave except Brother So-and-so. No. We're not going to do that. Because honestly, we want happy money. We want people to give cheerfully, willfully, sacrificially. We want you to be in the place in life, spiritually, emotionally, financially, where you can give. And here's what we'll tell you. When you give, it makes you happy. When you give, you'll experience the joy of the Lord. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. We got to wrap this up. I'll give you the last ones real quickly, and we'll be done. 1 Chronicles 29. You should have your place there already. 1 Chronicles 29. We're talking about selfish reasons you may want to be extraordinarily generous, or why it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's point number 6. Giving acknowledges the fact that we are highly blessed by God. Giving acknowledges the fact that we are highly blessed by God. 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 10. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 says this, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Notice what David said. Remember, David was giving to the Lord. He's giving to a special offering. He says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all," don't miss this, "for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore," he says, "look, God, because of the fact that both riches and honors come from thee, because of the fact that thou reignest over all, because of the fact that thou art exalted as head above all, because of the fact that in heaven and in earth, it's all thine, it all belongs to you, it's all yours." He says, "Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so," don't miss this word, "willingly after this sort?" Don't miss this. "For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand we given thee." Know what David is saying? David is saying, everything I have came from God. Every success I have, every promotion I get, every great job I have, the house I live in, the car I drive, anything I have was given to me by God. And really, it's only out of what God has given me, out of thine own hand, are we given back to you. Over the years, we've done this vision offering year after year. And over the years, I've came up here to and forfeited my rewards in heaven for the vision offering by announcing to you what it is that we're giving, because I want you to understand that we are stretching ourselves with you. We are sacrificing with you. We are in this with you. And recently I've had people attack me. We've got reprobate enemies out there who hate what we do here at Verity Baptist Church. And they'll attack. I've been attacked recently. Somebody's telling me this. I've been attacked where they'll attack this vision offering. And they'll say, he's giving money back to the church from the money the church gave him. And, you know, this person is chronically unemployed. Yeah. So he doesn't really understand the concept of labor. You know, you work and you get paid. You work and then you're supposed to live off that money. And when you take that money and give it back to the church, now you can't live off that money. You know, and someone who doesn't have a job, I can understand why they would not understand that concept. But here's the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter who pays you. All of your money comes from God. Say, "I work for church, so the money comes from God." But you know what? Where you work, the money comes from God. Because for all things come of thee, is what the Bible says. And of thine own hand have we given thee. Look, you are not giving anything to God that God didn't already give to you. And if you believe that it is God who has blessed you, then you must believe that it is God who can care for you. And giving acknowledges the fact that we have been highly blessed by God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're almost done. I want to give this to you and we'll finish up. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In the New Testament, you find the T books. They're all clustered together. 1, 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus. You find the T books, you're going to be real close, right? Find the books that start with a T. 1, 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. See, giving acknowledges the fact that we have been highly blessed by God. And here's what I'm saying. If you can acknowledge that God has highly blessed you, you should give. If you can acknowledge that God has blessed you, you should give. Because giving acknowledges the fact that we're highly blessed of God. 1 Timothy 6:17. The Bible says this. Charge them that are rich in this world. You see those words there, rich in this world? Let me let you in on some bad news. That's you. I'm not rich. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say rich in the United States of America. It says rich in this world. Let me explain something to you. If you've got a smartphone, you're rich. If you ever stood in line to buy an iPhone, when you've got an iPhone, you're rich. If you've ever driven a perfectly sound vehicle to a location where they sell vehicles, and then you left with another vehicle, you're rich. All right? Here's what I'm telling you. If you live in the United States of America, you're probably, by world standards, rich. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Where did you get your riches from? From God, the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Everything you've got, everything you own, every blessing you've been given has been given to you by God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Don't miss this. Ready to distribute. Amen. Willing. Don't miss that word, willing. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, not coerced, not manipulated. Willing. Here's what he's saying. If you're rich in this world, you got to be willing to communicate. See that word communicate? Comes from the same root word as communism. I know we don't like that word. But he's saying you got to be willing to share it. Now, I don't think the government should take it from you to share it. But he's saying you got to be willing to share it. You got to be willing to distribute. Willing to communicate. Say, Pastor Jimenez, why should I be willing to give my money away? If you want to acknowledge that anything you give to God was something that God first gave to you, and that you've been highly blessed by God. I read this story recently. I thought it was interesting. After the Vietnam War, a small city wanted to place a memorial in the city center. Solicitors went door to door asking for donations. At one house, the volunteer asking for contributions told a husband and wife of a family down the street who gave $5,000 in memory of their son killed in Vietnam. The wife squeezed her husband's hand and said, "Let's give $5,000 as well." The husband replied, "But we didn't have a son killed in the war." She then looked at him and said, "Let's give because we didn't lose our son." Amen. And you know, the truth of the matter is that giving out acknowledges the fact that we've been blessed by God. Giving out acknowledges the fact that you've been given. Look, you've been given the opportunity to be a Bible-believing Christian in the United States of America, and you ought to be willing to distribute to preach the gospel in the Philippines, where people would get saved if they could hear the gospel but don't have the finances to be here to hear it. What I'm telling you is this, that a selfish reason to give, the reason it really is, truly is, more blessed to give than to receive is because of the fact that we've been so highly blessed by God. And if we acknowledge that, it should produce love in our heart to give. Let me give you last one. We'll finish up. You're there in 1 Timothy 6:19. Notice what he says. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Here's point number seven. Go to Matthew chapter 6, first book of the New Testament. It should be fairly easy to find. Here's point number seven. Giving is an investment into your own personal eternal rewards. When you give, when you're willing to distribute, when you are ready to distribute and willing to communicate, you are laying up in store a good foundation against the time to come. That's not talking about the fact that you're going to go to heaven one day. It's saying if you're on your way to heaven, you can send something ahead. Matthew chapter 6, 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. See, giving is an investment into your own personal eternal rewards. Giving is an investment into the enjoyment of the millennial reign. Giving is an investment into the treasures that you will have in heaven. You say, why? Because Paul said, not that I desire to give, but that I might desire fruit that may abound to your account. And here's what I can promise to you. I can't speak for the Red Cross, and I can't speak for other churches. I can't speak for other donations. I can't speak for other charities. I can't speak for other religious charities. But I can tell you this. When you invest into the ministry of Verity Baptist Church, we will steward every dollar properly, and every dollar will be used for the furtherance of the gospel. It'll be used to plant new churches, to send more missionaries, and to continue the work. It'll be used to further the preaching and teaching of God's Word in this area. It'll be used to continue to reach people with the gospel. And here's the bottom line. When you give, you're actually making an investment into your own eternal rewards. And when you give, here's the great part about giving. Because we're talking about selfish reasons to give. Selfish reasons to be extraordinarily generous. Here's the bottom line about giving. When you give, you get credit in heaven, and the work of God continues on earth. Amen. And it's a win-win situation. Everyone wins. You win, you're happier, you're mature, you're growing, and people just like you get to hear the gospel. People just like you get to come to a church like this and hear the Bible preached, and hear the Word of God preached, and hear the things of God preached. So here's all we're saying, and here's all we're telling you. If you're here, you say, man, I've been blessed by this church. I'm thankful. I'm glad. We work really hard to try to do that. I've really grown since I've come here. I don't know how many people. Somebody said this to me recently. I can't remember who, but I've had 20 people say this to me. I've grown more in the few months I've been coming to this church spiritually, and I grew in all the years I was in another church. I've had dozens of people say that to me. And I'm thankful. Honestly, as a human being, I'm thankful. I spend a lot of time and energy studying and reading. I mean, there's a lot of things you're not going to get at Verity Baptist Church, but something you get at Verity Baptist Church is the Word of God in heavy doses. I mean, we're not giving you just shallow 1, 2, 3, just here's 3 points in a poem and let's sing and we're good. I mean, we dig into the Word of God. We're trying to help you grow. We're trying to help your marriages. We're trying to help your finances. I mean, most of the time when we're preaching on finances, we're just trying to tell you to get out of debt, to learn to budget, to save for an emergency. I mean, we're trying to help you spiritually, and we're working at it. And here's all we're asking. If you're a satisfied customer, would you invest into the ministry of this church? If you wouldn't mind, I just quickly, if you could take just real quickly the vision offering insert there in your bulletin. I'd like to just go over the vision offering real quickly with you. We are taking an offering next week. Say, Pastor, I don't like sermons on giving. Come back tonight. And you know what? Next week, we're going to be learning about how to use your words properly. And I don't think there's going to be anything mentioned about giving. We're just going to talk about communications in your marriage, with your children, at work. We're going to learn about how to be tactful and how to have some good people skills. But next week, we'll be taking this vision offering. And here's all I'm not asking you to commit or to give or to do anything right now. Here's all you say, Pastor Brad, what is the bottom line? What are you asking us for? Are you asking me to give? I'm not asking you to give. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you that between now and next week, I've already determined what I'm going to give. Okay, here's what I'm asking. That you would put that aside and that you would say, Lord, how would you have me to invest? Would you have me to give to the ministry of Verity Baptist Church? We're just going to tell you up front. Here's what we're planning to do. You say, what are you going to do with the money? Here's what we're going to do with the money. We have an inward focus. We want to help. We do something every year with our vision offering. We want to try to do something locally, something for our church, something we've done for the last 4 or 3 years, and we're going to do this year, is host the Red Hot Preaching Conference, which is a great time of fellowship. It's a great time of growth. There's been a lot of decisions that have been made, some great decisions made, and just being able to get around other believers that are like, people come, you come to the vision offering, you're like, wow, there's other crazy people like me. All over the country and all over the world. I don't think you realize. Some of you live here in Sacramento and you're just like, I don't really know. People come here from all over the country and all over the world. Amen. For this type of preaching. For a week of this type of preaching. And we're blessed to host it. We haven't done it yet, but I want to do it. And I think we're going to, I just need to get the logistics, but I want to make a promotional video for the Red Hot Preaching Conference where we just go through like couple after couple after couple of people. I just want people to stand up and say, hi, my name is Remy Thompson, and this is my wife, and we met at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. You know, and hi, I'm so-and-so, and this is my wife, and we met at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. Because I don't even realize, I mean, the Red Hot Preaching Conference is like, it's like the dating center of fundamentalism. I mean, it's just like couple after couple after couple after couple have met and married as a result of the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And you know what? We get to be a part of that. And praise the Lord for it. Another thing we're doing for our church is we just acquired 1,000 square feet here. 6 months ago, we felt pressure. The church was growing, and we felt we needed more room. So we acquired an additional 1,000 square feet. We did a 3-year lease for an additional 1,000 square feet, and it relieved, and it helped us. It relieved a lot of pressure for about 6 months. Now we're back to feeling pressure, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. But we acquired this 1,000 square feet. The fire department wants us to put a fire alarm in there. It's going to cost, the quote we've been given, it's about $5,000. We might be able to save some money on that, on us doing work ourselves. We'll get back to that another week. But we're raising money for that. Outward focus. We have a church plant in Manila, Philippines. We have an evangelist that we've committed to support full time. Other churches give to him, and we appreciate that, but if no one else gives to him, we have committed to take care of his salary and to take care of the church there and to continue the growth there, and this vision offering is going to go towards continuing the church there. We support another missionary in the Philippines, Dave Kamuntala. We'll continue to support him as well, and we're going to begin the process. We're going to begin the process of planting a church in Fresno, California, and I'm excited about this, but listen, it costs money to do these things. That city needs a church. And you say, well, we're going to take our money and invest it somewhere else? You know what? Here's what I've learned. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. And when we generously support other ministries and give to other things, and we invest into other areas that is never going to come back to us, you know what? God just blesses us and takes care of us and supplies our every need. So we want to start preparing for a new church in Fresno, California. Here's a future focus. We want to produce. We have this Being Baptist documentary. We're going to be showing it at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And it's an awesome documentary in the sense that I believe this is going to be a great tool to disciple people. People who come in to maybe a church like ours, and they're like, what does it mean to be Baptist, or why should I want to be a Baptist? This is going to be a documentary that's going to answer those questions for them. If you're a history buff, you're going to love this documentary. You're going to go through all the history of Baptist people and like the Roman Catholic Church and the Dark Ages and all of that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be having, we'll be done with that, Lord willing, here in a couple of weeks. We're going to be showing at the Red Hot Preaching Conference, but we want to mass produce this and give it away for free at missions conferences, at soul-winning marathons, at conferences, any church that wants it. We want to be able to continue the work of God and give it all for free. Then, of course, we want to continue to raise money for a future building. You say, how can I give? Here's how you can give. You can bring a one-time gift next week. The offering next week will be for the vision offering. You can bring a gift, your check, or whatever you want to do, and put it in the offering plate and say, that's my gift. You say, I'd like to give, Pastor, but I won't be ready to give next week. That's fine. You can commit to give over the next 3 months. You can commit to give for April, May, June. Now, you don't have to give all 3 months. You can say, I'm going to bring my offering in April, or I'm going to bring my offering in May, or I'm going to bring my offering in June. You can pick one or two or all of those to give a commitment to, but we're going to ask that you commit to it. You're going to have a card, and you're going to write down, I'm committing to give this much. You say, why? Are you going to post that anywhere? We're not going to post it anywhere. We're just going to use it so that we can know what we can count on that will come in so that we can begin to spend the money in the different areas that we are trying to raise money for. Or, here's your third option, you can give a one-time gift and commit. We're not going to stop you from doing that either, all right? Now, if you're listening online, and we've got a lot of people who listen to our sermons online, and we've been blessed in that way, and you'd like to give, you are welcome to do that on our website, veritybaptist.com. Hit the donate button, and you can give there as well. All of our church people can give online as well, if you'd like. You can just make sure you hit in the memo section, vision offering. You type that in so we know what it's meant for you to do. And if any of you want to do just a scientific project, here's what you should do. You should sit at your computer with one of those home, you know, heart monitoring things, and then just buy something on Amazon and see if it changes, and then give $1,000 and see if it changes. And anyway, I don't know. That might be interesting. I'm not sure. Let me just say this. Here's the point. We're done. We're done right here. Okay. I preach on money one time, so I got to get it all in the one time I do it every year. Okay. You say, if I give, Pastor, how will you be okay with me giving? Here's how I'll be okay with you giving. If you do it willingly, cheerfully, and sacrificially. If you're missing any of those, look, I'm telling you, don't worry about us. God will take care of us. Don't give. If you're not willing, we don't want your money. If you're not cheerful, we don't want your money. If you're not sacrificing, we'll take your money, but we'd rather you sacrifice. But the way to properly give is to do it willingly, cheerfully, sacrificially. And I believe that God will use this offering like he has every year to continue the work of God in Sacramento, California, and beyond. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to study the Bible and to be able to learn when it's proper to give and even when it's proper not to give. And Lord, I pray that you would just burden the hearts of our people. Lord, I pray that you would use this sermon in the hearts of our people. And Lord, that you would just allow us to have a great vision offering. And Lord, all I'm asking, all we're asking is this, that everyone would go home and pray. How would you have me to give? Would you have me to give, and how would you have me to do it? And Lord, I ask that you would burden our hearts. Lord, I pray that people would go home and really think, can I give? And if so, can I stretch myself? And how can I be part? And Lord, if there's people, and I know there are, and we're thankful for it, but there's people all over this building who said, this church has blessed my family, it's blessed me. And Lord, I just pray that you would help those of us that have been blessed by you to bless back. And help us to trust the fact that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. We love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.